And then call the doctor. No, I shouldn't do this, the doctor says. The kid is certainly hungry. So, days of examination. All the x-rays were negative. I saw the contrast between the x-rays before and after. So, it works. So, when Our Lady appears, does she always look like the people she's appearing to? Well, from all that I hear, she does try to accommodate. I'll save those. That's a precious box. Why are some priests so reluctant to hear confessions? Some pastors have 2,000 families but only hear a handful of confessions per week. Please comment. Well, one reason, I can tell you honestly, I know I'm being taped. Some priests hear so few confessions because they don't go to confession themselves. You got to appreciate going to confession yourself. When I give priest retreat, I always make sure that the confession door is open, and whenever possible, even have the priest sitting in the confession with lights on, door wide open, so the priest and leaving the chapel have to pass the confessional wide open. So, and anything you can do, by the way, talk to priests and impose on priests. If you don't feel particularly sinful, just go to confession anyhow. I mean it. Give the priest work to do. Good for your soul. What prayers do you recommend saying during Eucharistic adoration? It depends on the person. Now, there are, as you know, prayers to be recited at the, during, say, the Holy Hour. It is a good thing to talk over with our Lord what is most on your mind. Now, you can ask for what you need. I do, for example, here, for me, I do a lot of writing before the Blessed Sacrament. So I talk to our Lord, "Lord, now what do I say?" And I jot it down. Can the souls of people who die and go to hell ever come out? No. Not if the soul goes to hell. Can a soul in hell ever possess a living person on earth? Or is it only possible for demons, fallen angels, to possess living people? It is very possible for the souls of the damned, as we say, to possess people. In fact, if anything, it's very common. So, which is also one reason, by the way, why spiritualism is such a dangerous art. What is the Sabbath in terms of the time of day? Is it from sundown on Saturday to sundown on Sunday? Or is it midnight Saturday until midnight Sunday? Or something else? Well, first of all, we're not Jewish. We're Christians. So it's not sundown on Saturday. he'll say sundown on Sunday. No, it is from midnight to midnight. However, and this is the way I was taught, so I pass it on to you. Given the fact that we are on time zones, I was told when I was studying my theology before ordination, and I passed this on to others, that we may take the liberty of adding 1 hour, 1 hour to midnight, and still, for example, say, consider it to be Saturday, even though it is 12:30 a.m. Sunday morning. But then you've got to be consistent at the other end. But in general, midnight to midnight.
Does the same apply for Sunday?
Please.
Does the same apply for Sunday as the Lord's Day? It begins midnight, Saturday night?
Yeah. Doesn't the longevity of the Muslim church tend to give it credibility to its members? We always see the only way the Catholic Church could have existed 2,000 years is under divine providence. Yes, certainly, one ground for the credibility of Islam is its longevity. Except, you better explain your terms. Islam would never have survived. In fact, Islam would never even have come into existence, except that Muhammad and all leaders of Islam, and no exceptions, have been outstanding military leaders. The greatest military leader of all times, here was Muhammad. Greater than Caesar, greater than Napoleon. In other words, Islam is historically the one perfect model, the one perfect model of a church state. There is no separation between church and state in Islam. Zero. And the ambition of every believing Muslim is to make, well, Islam the state religion. In other words, the reason for not just the longevity, but the very existence of Islam and even its survival has been its military power. And Islam is very militant. If the soul of someone we love chooses to go to hell, how can we be completely happy in heaven? Because the essence of happiness is to be conformed to the will of God. How can God be happy if there are souls in hell? Or for that matter, even before human souls, how can God be happy with the existence of, say, the evil spirits in hell? Behind this, of course, comes the question, is the whole mystery of evil, but God understands, and the degree that we are united with God, we too will understand how we can be happy in conforming our wills with His, even though someone who say we love, or shall I say have loved, is now a strange of God. How can we die to ourselves? What are some ways? Some of these questions are not just questions. They are the subjects of at least a 2-semester graduate course in spiritual theology. If you want to know how you can die to yourself, find out what in your life holds such a strong appeal or attraction for you that over the years now it has been the principal reason for your offending God. We never sin except by choosing something under the guise of good. We are seduced by something which has the appearance of goodness. So how do we die to ourselves? The first, what it means to die to yourself, it means to let go with our wills. What we naturally like, let me know, is contrary to the will of God. And some people rather die in body rather than give up what they are so strongly attached to. Now if you ask, how do you do it? Well, first of all, you might be convinced that there are some things in your life. Oh no, not my life. Just a minute. There are in your life some creatures, to give them a generic name, some creatures which you are very drawn to. They may be certain persons. There may be certain food. Maybe certain books. Maybe certain ideas. And if you want to, as we say, die to these, which means that you do not live to them, want to let go of them in your life, first you've got to find out which they are. What are they? And that's, as some of you know, is called the principle and foundation of St. Ignatius' spiritual exercises. Our first job in life is to find out what in my life has such a strong appeal to me that I must somehow give up, let go of, because it is God's will. Okay. How do we pray without ceasing while we are working? Can you recommend some prayers to say while at work on the job? You know, really, the two should not be separated, working and praying. When we are working, our minds should not be, well, totally mindless or not thinking of God. There's no inconsistency in doing whatever I'm doing and having God somehow on my mind. And I would say, why not associate what prayers you are saying with the work you are doing? For example, I wrote for several hours yesterday in chapel. The manuscript here. Yeah, I was writing this in chapel. And I was doing this while writing. So that it's a good idea interweaving, interspersing. And afterwards, it becomes or should become what I've almost called second nature. In other words, say, I'm going up the elevator. Well, I'm saying some prayers. Over the door, say some prayers. Say to one, Tanto Mio. I say some words to our Lord. The essence of prayer, remember, is in the will. My will is united with the will of God. It does not matter too much what words I use. You said that the good bishops are those that are willing to be martyred. Percentage-wise, what might that be in the United States?
That's God.
Well, all I can tell you is that the Holy See is very sensitive to what bishops are given a certain job or asked or told to do something. You said Rome has closed the book on these orders in the United States. Explain. Well, I've never seen the list. But they've told me that religious communities in the United States that over the years, of course, have kept a correspondence with the Holy See, say the Congregation for Religious or for Consecrated Life. And over the years, there may be hundreds of letters between the administration, say in America, and the officials in Rome. But by now, Rome can see where this community is going. It's going nowhere except downhill. So it may still keep them in the files, but as far as Rome is concerned, that community is done. I may have mentioned this on some occasion to you people. I mentioned more than once in speaking to religious. The history of all religious communities in the world follows a definite pattern. They all begin with a zealous and holy founder or founders. No exceptions. Otherwise, you wouldn't get off ground. A Francis of Assisi, a Francis de Sales, an Ignatius, a Don Bosco. They flourish. But the numbers increase. Then, those originally very zealous and holy people become more lax. And after a while, that once flourishing religious community is either to be reformed or is to be, well, closed down. So there are communities in the United States. As that community becomes more and more secularized, then, over the centuries, it either reforms or it closes down. And most of the communities over the centuries have closed down? Does an assistant pastor have to obey the pastor when he is told not to say the creed at Sunday Mass? Well, no. Because the pastor doesn't have the right to tell him not to say the creed. Our married children sometimes miss Mass on Sunday. Is this still a mortal sin? Yes, it is. Now, of course, a sin can be committed objectively, which is mortal. But given the poor background, given the bad example that people nowadays have, the guilt, therefore, for missing Mass on Sundays, though objectively, can be a grave sin, or certain people may not be grave for them. I repeat, objectively can still be, and still is, a mortal sin. He reported on a Windsor radio station this week that our Holy Father may be soon be stepping down, retiring, due to his health. Any comment? Well, could be. But knowing Pope John Paul II, that'll be the day. What is a good book of the lives of the saints? Well, the best four-volume work on the lives of the saints is by Atwater. And four volumes for each of four seasons. There are, of course, many books on the lives of the saints. But for me, I would say the Atwater four volumes is standard. Concerning the book by Brother Andrew, Practicing the Presence of God, he never mentions the sacraments. Did he have Protestant influence? Also, although not having read it yet, De Causans Abandonment of Divine Providence causes me concern. I want a rabbi. When a rabbi, he praises on it, on the paperback cover. Well, the rabbi, I presume, the rabbi is heaping praises. Is it on Kosad's book? Is that?
Yeah.
Well, and you can heap praises on something. First of all, there are good rabbis. I know some myself. But on his brother Andrew, Practicing the Presence of God, I'm not that familiar with the book.
Oh, Brother Lawrence, I'm sorry.
Please?
Brother Lawrence, Practicing the Presence of God. Brother Lawrence.
I'm not familiar with it. Concerning the fact that it is not licit to do an intrinsically evil act so that good may come, for presumably to avoid evil, to avoid a greater evil. In what way is it then licit to kill in a just war, in self-defense, or for the state to execute the guilty? It seems to me that for those to be licit, we must have killing not to be intrinsically evil. Oh, no. Over the centuries, no exceptions. Never. The Church's teaching has always been it is forbidden to kill an innocent human being. There has never been a divine law, never, which says you cannot kill. You may not kill an innocent human being. The state does have a right to execute justly condemned criminals. And in a just war, say a war of self-defense. And even the intention need not necessarily be to kill, but to win the war, you may permit people to be even killed, provided that it's the state which is justified to engage, say, in a war of self-defense. And let me tell you, I'll be very careful in what I say. The whole morality of abortion has yet to be analyzed. And we repeat, the whole morality of abortion has yet to be analyzed. Why? Because abortion is the murder of innocent human beings. May a person use physical means to prevent the murder of an innocent human being? Yes. Yes. Once more, yes. Exclamation mark. I've said this before publicly, and I hope I'm wrong. I do not believe that abortion will stop in our country until we've had a civil war. And if there would ever be a justified civil war, this one would be it. If a person gets a plea of indulgence just before death, thus freed from all terrible punishment due to sin, do they go directly to heaven? Sure.
With no purgatory.
No purgatory. And by the way, we should all ambition, all of us should ambition not going to purgatory. That's why we need. We need to suffer here. Don't run away from the cross. That's silly. It's not good mathematics. What action does Jesus effect in the soul? Mind, heart, and spirit in communion besides grace. Often I see no change for the better, as if nothing happens. Usually I experience no improvement in my life with Jesus. Well, this may be an expression of deep humility, just deep humility. No person may be growing in virtue, but just too modest to admit there has been real progress. Could be. However, to ask, why does Jesus affect in the soul, mind and heart and spirit, and community besides grace? My dear friends, if you get grace, what else are you looking for? Mazuma? Money? Is grace we need? Often I see no change for the better, as if nothing happens. Well, remember, what we get from Holy Communion, we get the grace. But remember, the grace we receive must be cooperated with. That's why God gives us the grace. You know, we might admire it. Gosh, what a beautiful grace. Oh, how nice. Cooperate with the grace. So I would say, if you experience no improvement in your life, pardon me, look into your conscience and ask yourself, what are you doing with the graces that you received from Holy Communion? Would you please elaborate on the fact that Muslims will not abort their children as America Christians do. And therefore, how can Americans even save herself, since she aborts her children? Well, it is not quite true. Oh, wish it were true that Muslim people do not abort. Wish it were true. They do. Now, if some Muslim people do not abort as much as the Christians do, well, that of course is to the Muslims' credit. But remember, anyone who aborts, no matter what profession of faith they may make, is simply not behaving what a safe statement like a Christian. And this is one reason why the United States has such a bad reputation in the world outside. We are the most abortive nation in the world, the most crime-ridden nation in the world. And that means, therefore, we've got to look to our own conversion before we can hope to convert others. Otherwise, they won't even listen to us. And it is 4:21 by my clock. Shall we pray? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. O Mary, conceived without sin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And Father Downey, and the other priests here, to give these people a great big blessing. Let's do it in Latin. Benedictio Dei Omnipotentis, Patris et Filii, et Spiritus Sanctus, descendet super vos, et Maria semper. Amen.